Hallelujah. Okay. So, this is part three, but I'm not sure if I am going to get through the whole thing. I may break it down into two parts, depending how far we go, because there's a lot of scripture to look at. I also sent you the notes that where I have all the scriptures actually printed out. I did that to save time so that the scriptures are there in front of you. And as we're going through the PowerPoint, then you could read along with me as I share the scriptures and comment on them as the Ruach HaKodesh leads me to. So again, it's important to understand again the ministry of angels or the Melech in our lives, how they operate, how they function, how they are servants of Yahweh Elohim. And again, we're continuing to look at the works of angels in this study, and also how they their ministry to believers. Now, I don't know how long far I'm going to get. I'm trying to keep my eye on the time here. So if it gets if it looks like I'm not going to finish it within an hour, we'll just continue next week. So, because I don't want to overload anybody, and we have a lot of scripture to look at, because angels are mentioned many times in the scriptures. So again, the Hebrew word for angels is melech. It's a masculine noun, meaning a messenger, or translated in English as angel. Very often the term referred to messengers sent from God. Sometimes these were human messengers, whether prophets or priests or the whole nation of Israel. More often, however, the term referred to heavenly beings who often assumed human form. They appeared to people as bearers of Yahweh's commands and tidings. They were often responsible for aiding, protecting, and fighting for those who trusted in Yahweh Elohim. They also acted as instruments of divine judgment, meting out punishment on the rebellious and guilty. And sometimes the angel or Melech of the Lord and his message are so closely identified with the Lord himself that the text simply refers to as as angel or angel of the Lord. Many believe that when you see the term angel of the Lord, it's referring to the pre-incarnate Yeshua, which I believe in many instances it does, because it's specifying a deity, and Yeshua is again Yahweh in the flesh, but depending on the context. So here we're going to look at now the work of angels in relationship to God or Yahweh Elohim and the different categories. One category of the work of angels concerns their work in relationship to God or Yahweh Elohim. In this category, there are four specific ministries. First, they are employed in the worship of God, and they actively worship God. Secondly, they execute God's will. God's will is often carried out by means of angels. Thirdly, angels rejoice in the work of God. When God created the heavens and the earth, the angels shouted for joy. And when God saves an individual, there is joy among the angels. And fourthly, they execute God's judgments. Angels are used to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They are used in connection with the 10th plague in Egypt, and they are used in connection with pestilence in Israel. So we're going to look at, again, these scriptures that are referenced in this introduction. First, Psalm 29:1 and 2 says, this is all Tree of Life translation, a psalm of David, ascribe to Adonai. O sons of God, ascribe to Adonai glory and strength. Ascribe to Adonai the glory of his name. Bow down to Adonai in the beauty of holiness. And in this context, the sons of God are referring to the angels. We see that in Job, where it talks about how HaSatan appeared again with the sons of God before the throne, and where he accused Job. So in this context, angels are sometimes referred to as the sons of God. Psalm 103:20, bless Adonai, you angels of his, mighty in strength, performing his word upon hearing the utterance of his word. So here we see that angels hearken to the word of Yahweh Elohim. That's why it's important when we pray the word. And we also pray again out of our hearts in line with his word. Psalm 148:2, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his armies. So here again, the angels are continually praising Yahweh Elohim. Isaiah 6:2 and 3, seraphim were standing above him. Now, last week we looked in detail on who the seraphim and cherubim were. Each had six wings, and two covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One called out to one another and said, holy, holy, holy is Adonai Zevaot. The whole earth is full of his glory. So here we see the seraphim proclaiming the holiness and the glory of Yahweh Elohim. Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of Yahweh worship him. Again, this is referring to Yeshua. Revelation 4:8 to 11. The four living creatures, each having wings, were full of eyes all around and within. They do not rest day or night, chanting, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Elohe Zavaot, Asher Haya Vihove Viyavo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, who was and who is to come. And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the Holy One seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they throw their crowns down before the throne, chanting, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. So here we see in the heavenlies, again, the angels are continually worshiping Yahweh Elohim, this certain group of angels, which are made above the Havarim, the Haravim, are surround the throne of glory. The angels are praising him. When we're worshiping, the angels are praising him. You know, that's why we need to be very, you know, reverent in our worship, because they are here. They are, you know, stand in awe of Yahweh Elohim and worship him day and night. Revelation 5:8, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and gold bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the Kedoshim. And they were singing a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you redeemed for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them for our God a kingdom and a Kohanim, and they shall reign upon the earth. And this is talking about the believers. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm just looking. Okay, Revelation 5. Just want to make sure I broke this down. So let's see. Okay, no, I'm going to go back here. I was trying to get adding all the scripture so we weren't bouncing, you know, around. Okay, Revelation 5, going through 11 to 14. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. Their number was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And they were chanting with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and everything in them responding, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Hebrews 1:7. And regarding the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants a flame of fire. Again, thirdly, angels rejoice in the work of God. And we're going to look at these scriptures. When God created the heavens and the earth, the angels again shouted for joy. Job 38:7. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God, again referring to the angels, shouted for joy. So again, they shouted a joy at Yahweh's creation, and that again, even the stars sang. Again, there was a recording, somebody recorded actually the sound of the stars singing. The stars emanate a music. Again, God, even again, the heavens declare the glory of Yahweh Elohim. Luke 15:10, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over every one sinner who repents. So here, there's knowledge when somebody comes to faith in Messiah, when they come bow down at his feet, repent, receive him as their Messiah, all the angels rejoice in heaven. So we know that, again, those in heaven know when a sinner repents. Why? Because they're hearing the angels rejoicing. Genesis 19:1, going forward. Now, two angels, I'm not reading every verse, I'm just breaking down a few key verses. This is regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Again, this is regarding how they execute God's will. While Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom, when Lot saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. Verse 2, then he said, here, please, my lords, please turn aside to your servant's house, spend the night and wash your feet. then you can get up early and go on your way. But they said, no, we will spend the night in the open plaza. Verse 10, but the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. Again, this is when the men were going to attack these angels. Again, they appeared as men. The residents of Sodom saw them as men. I don't know if Lot realized at that time yet that they were angels. Verse 11, then they struck, these are the angels, and they struck the men at the doorway of the house with blindness, from youth to elderly, so they gave up trying to find the doorway. So here you see their protection over Lot, their ability to smite these attackers with blindness, so they had to flee. Verse 19, so when morning dawned, the angels rushed Lot, saying, get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or else you'll be swept away with the city's iniquity. And again, the rescue of Lot had everything to do with Abraham's plea to Yahweh to save the righteous. And again, we know that it came down to the fact that the only ones that were left there that were righteous was Lot and the family under his roof, but mainly it was Lot's righteousness. But again, it was a result in Abraham's prayers that, again, these angels were sent to specifically get Lot out of the city. Verse 16, but he hesitated. So the men grabbed his hand, his wife's hand, and his two daughters' hands because of Adonai's compassion for him, for they brought him out and left him outside the city. So here, literally, we see that they were actually able to grab them and take them out and lead them out. Verse 17, when they brought them outside, one said, flee for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not step anywhere in the surrounding area. Escape to the hill, or else you will be swept away. So here we see that the only way that Lot could be saved in his family is by being obedient, by doing what they were instructed to do, to leave the city, because they were sent there to destroy the city because of the sin. So again, we see that they executed judgments. We also see this, I'm not reading these scriptures, but you can read it in your notes. They were used in connection with the 10th plague in Egypt, Exodus 12:23, again, referring to Pesach that we're coming to. This was the death of the firstborn. And they were used in connection with the pestilence in Israel, 1 Chronicles 21:15. The work of angels as agents of revelation. Again, this is a study, so I don't really want to rush through it. So we'll get as far as we can get, and we could always continue next week. But it's important to understand what the word of Yahweh says. I mean, Yahweh is giving us a peek into what is happening in the unseen world. These servants of Yahweh Elohim, these Melech, these messengers who are also working on our behalf. Again, it's exciting that again, Yahweh is revealing to us again what is happening in the spiritual realm, what is happening beyond what we can see with our normal eyes. A second category of the work of angels is that they are agents of revelation. Here it speaks that the law of Moses did not come to Moses directly, but was mediated to Moses by means of angels. This is hinted at Deuteronomy 33:2, which we're going to read that, and also Acts 7:53, Galatians 3:19, and Hebrews 2:2. So let's look at those. Again, they're on the sheets if you printed them out. Deuteronomy 33:2. He said, Adonai came from Sinai and dawned on B'nai Israel from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came from the holy myriads, blazing fire for them from his right hand. And then Acts actually clarifies this more. Acts 7:55-53, you who received the Torah by direction of angels and did not keep it. Again, here it's a rebuke to Israel, but here it's specifying again that angels were the messengers who brought, again, Moshe, the detail of the Torah as well. Galatians 3:19, then why the Torah? It was added because of wrongdoings until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made, and referring to Yeshua. It was arranged through angels by the hand of an intermediary. And then Hebrews 2:2, for if the word spoken through angels proved to be firm, and every violation and disobedience received a just payback, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was first spoken through the Lord and confirmed to us by those who heard. At the same time, God testifying by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh according to his will. Now, what Paul also warns us about angels of light. These are false angels, false messengers. That's why he states we are to test the spirits to see if they are from God. This is not only speaking of the prophetic voice, but it's also speaking about angels, because many people have been deceived who do not understand the word of God, who do not study his word. Examples are Muhammad claims that an angel came and gave him his revelation. The Mormons claim that an angel came to them to give him a revelation. But if you see, their revelations are totally contradict the word of God, the word of Yahweh Elohim. So if you happen again to have again a visitation from an angel, you have every right to judge that. And to again, there's a way of testing. Number one, they will not receive worship. A true angel will not receive worship. And number two, you can ask them, has Yahweh, has Yeshua come in the flesh? An angel of Yahweh Elohim will say, yes, he has come in the flesh. An angel of light or a messenger of Satan will not confirm that, will not confess that. So again, we need to test the spirits. Nowadays, again, angel visitations are probably very few and far between. It depends on the situation. It depends, there have been modern day. We see that happening in Israel. And again, it was for a purpose to again deliver people. Because why? Because we have the Ruach HaKodesh, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the entire written word of God. We need to depend on that written word of God. You're gonna remember the visitation of angels back in the Tanakh, they did not have, their own personal Bible. They had the Torah, they memorized the Torah, they heard it spoken and they memorized. It wasn't written till after quite a ways, until the rabbis put it down in writing. It was, passed down orally and memorized. And again, everything the Torah warns us about, even prophets, if a prophet, even if he does signs and wonders, remember, the anti-Messiah is going to do false signs and wonders. and they do not come to pass, you don't have to fear them. But he said, if that prophet tells you to turn away from Yahweh, in other words, that there's another way, you know, you can worship these other gods. So that is a false prophet. You are not to heed them. And if there was a false prophet like that who arose in Israel, they were even put to death because, again, they were speaking contrary to the word. They were deceiving people. Again, we see that all through the Tanakh of, you know, false prophets rising up trying to contradict the word of God. Again, a true prophet is not going to contradict the word of God. A true angel of Yahweh Elohim is not going to contradict the word of God. They are messengers. They come specifically to speak what he tells them to speak. They will be very active again in the end times regarding judgment. And we looked at some of that last week, and we'll look at some more of these this week. Again, if you do not want to be deceived in the times we are living in, you need to be a student of the word. You need to hide that word in your heart. And not just go by what somebody else is saying, but you need to know that word so strong in your heart that when you hear a wrong teaching, you know, right away, the spirit, the rock within you is going to bear witness. Hey, that's not agreeing with the word of God. You know, there is so much confusion out there today. There's so many believers out there that are not students of the word. They don't want to take the time to study, you know, and we need to. That's our responsibility. You know, we can't say we're ignorant of the word, you know, especially in this country. And, you know, we have the word at our fingertips. You know, we can own as many Bibles as we want today, but that time may change in the future. So we have no excuse. It is our responsibility to know the word of Yahweh Elohim from Genesis, Bereshit, all the way to Revelation or Hikulut in Hebrew, the whole word of God. The whole word of God is his teachings and instructions. The Torah is the foundation upon which all is built upon. Yeshua is the living Torah, the word made manifest. Hallelujah. But we need, again, to hide this word in our hearts. Again, we are all responsible to hide that word within our hearts. And to judge, again, that's how we are to judge false prophets, by the word of Yahweh Elohim. So let's look now. Furthermore, while Daniel often received his revelation directly from God, some is material, such as Daniel 8:1 to 12:13, which I'm not going to read all that. You can read it. Came by means of angels. Again, angels were specifically sent to Daniel. Now here he is in Babylon. Again, he is with the diaspora, because even some of the righteous were sent into Babylon. Why? God made sure that there were righteous men there, prophets, priests, who would keep Israel in remembrance of who they are, where they came from, and where they will be returning after that 70-year captivity. So here, even in the midst of that pagan country, again, angels came to minister to Daniel. The same is true of Zechariah. Zechariah's book is 14 chapters long, but the first six of these chapters, Zechariah 1:7 to 6:15, came by means of angels. And again, these prophets that Yahweh chose, they knew the word of Yahweh. That Torah was hidden within their heart. The book of Revelation, written by the apostle Yochanan, was mediated and revealed to him by means of an angel. So let's look at these verses again on the sheet. Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah. So again, this is the revelation directly from Yeshua the Messiah to us through Yochanan, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant Yochanan. So here we see the angels being sent by Yeshua to reveal this end times revelation. And we're actually going to be doing, I'm going to be offering a study on, again, we were doing it before, but Bible prophecy and current events, and also the book of Revelation. I'm just deciding which night to do it on, either Monday night or Sunday night, because of different things we have going on. But I think it's important. Believe me, a lot of believers are totally have no clue what's going on prophetically, because they don't bother to study it. They're like, they don't, delve into what the word of God yet. Revelation says there's a blessing to those who heed these words. Revelation 10, 1 to 6, then I saw another powerful angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head. His face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little scroll that was open. He had his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, just as a lion roars. When he cried out, the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders had spoken, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up what the seven thunders have said, do not write it down. Then the angel saw I was standing on the sea. Then the angel I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand toward heaven and swore by the one who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, the sea and what is in it, that there will be no more delay. Revelation 10, 7 to 11. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to trumpet, the mystery of God is completed, just as he declared to his servants, the prophets. So there is a time. There is, again, a timing for those judgments to come. The Father has given us signs in his word. One of the biggest signs was 1948 when Israel returned to the land after being dispersed from it for almost 2,000 years. Returning to the land. That was, again, when the clock started ticking. And we can see, that's why I want, there's been, again, I've been doing a lot of, research and reading about what's going on behind the scenes. You know, a lot of things like 50 years ago, people couldn't understand about the mark of the beast or what was it, or this one world government, or, again, the judgments. But we see these things actually manifestation today. Again, these are warnings. These are signs for us to be ready, get ready, be prepared for Messiah's return. So again, the angels are the ones who carry out these judgments in the end of times. Let's see, where did I leave off? Okay. Verse 8, then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, go take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little scroll, and he tells me, take it and eat it. It will be bitter in your stomach, but sweet as honey in your mouth. So I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but I had swallowed it. My stomach was made bitter. And they tell me, you must prophesy again about many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So here they're giving, again, Yochanan direction. Again, this is for, Baruch Hashem, that we have this word. This word tells us what to expect. We should not be surprised when we're hearing these things come to pass. Again, God has used angels to, again, bring his word to the men of Yahweh that he can trust. He's not going to just do it to anybody. Again, these were leaders. These were prophets. These were apostles. These were anointed men whom he trusted to carry out these messages. Revelation 19:9. Then the angel tells me, write, how fortunate are those who have been invited to the wedding banquet of the Lamb. He also tells me, these are the true words of Yahweh Elohim. Baruch Hashem, if you're a believer in Messiah and you are faithfully serving him, we are invited to that wedding banquet of the Lamb. Then I fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now here again, this was a test. He went to worship this angel, and what did the angel say? But he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am only a fellow servant with you and your brothers and your sisters who hold to the testimony of Yeshua. So these angels, our angels, are fellow servants with us. We are all servants of Yahweh Elohim. Worship God. Worship Yahweh Elohim. For the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 21:9, then came one of the seven angels holding the seven bowls full of seven final plagues. So here we see seven angels that are going to be in charge of these last final plagues. And he said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And then it goes on to reveal the new, new Jerusalem. Revelation 22:16, I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to testify these things to you for my communities. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So again, Yahweh used these angels again to bring this word so that we are not in darkness. Again, he's revealed to us to, again, things that would come. So we need to take seriously. Who do we put first in our life? We're going to see how the angels are observing us even. Is he first place in our life? Is he truly above all? When we keep him first place in our life, you know, our family will be in order. Our work will be in order. Our ministry will be in order. Again, there is an order, and we need to, again, we're studying this because the Ruach brought me into this study so that we understand, again, the work of angels. And we understand, again, they are servants of Yahweh Elohim for us in these end of days. And actually all through the history of man, God has used angels. See the work of angels in the life of the Messiah, Yeshua. A third category is how angels worked in the life of the Messiah. Angels were used in five specific periods in the life of the Messiah. Of course, when we say the Messiah, we're speaking of Yeshua. I'm not going to read again specifically these verses. I mean, if you've been in the Bible any short time, you should know these verses. The first period was the time of his birth. It was an angel who predicted the birth of Messiah to Mary. We see that many believe it was during the time of Hanukkah that he appeared to announce that she was the vessel who would be used to bring Messiah into the world. And to Joseph in Matthew 1:20-21, angels were used to announce the birth of the Messiah to the Jewish shepherds outside Bethlehem. We see that again, the shepherds were in the field watching their sheep, and they saw the manifestation of angels proclaiming Messiah is here. And it was an angel who warned Joseph to flee to Bethlehem. Here he came to him in a dream and warned him, hey, Herod's going to be murdering every child under two and under. Flee Bethlehem. And they went into Egypt for a period until they were told to come back. And an angel told Joseph to leave Egypt and return to Israel. So again, we're familiar with all these verses. But again, it was an angel who brought these warnings, these messages. Two, in Messiah's ministry, the second period was during the ministry of Yeshua. Again, Psalm 91:1-12 predicted that angels would be used throughout the ministry of Messiah Yeshua. It's also God's proclamation of his protection, but we know that Yeshua was under angelic protection, that the enemy, those who would, you know, who would bring him, you know, lead him to death, they could not touch him until it was God's time. Paul affirmed this in a general statement in 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, now beyond question, great is the mystery of godliness. He was revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, trusted throughout the world, taken up in glory. Again, this is referring to Yeshua. When Yeshua was tempted, angels were used to come to minister to him as well, and we looked at that last week. But after, again, he was the Anah HaSeitan was trying to, you know, at his weakest point, because remember, he was fasting, he was for 40 days during this time in the wilderness, and the enemy came to him when he was at his weakest physically, not spiritually, but physically. And we see as well that, you know, Yeshua, how did Yeshua shut the enemy's mouth? with the word of Yahweh Elohim. He quoted the Torah to him, even though HaSatan was trying to twist the words. He's good at twisting scripture. But Yeshua, you know, came back at him with the correct, again, interpretation of the Torah that the enemy was trying to trip him up on. And that after that, the angels came to, again, strengthen him because he was physically weakened. And they came to strengthen him. Also, throughout his ministry, angels were ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, Yochanan 1:51. And he said, this is Yeshua, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God, Yahweh Elohim, going up and coming down on the Son of Man." And then Luke 22:43, "Now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him." This was when he was in, again, the Garden of Gethsemane, and again, praying great drops of blood. And I was reading, again, a doctor's explanation of this, who was a believer. He said that he was under such stress that, why? Because the load, the sins of the world, the sins, our sins were upon him. He was ready to face, to pay our debt, pay our price. And the enemy didn't want that to happen. And there was spiritual warfare going on there. There was so much pressure and stress that, again, the capillaries under the skin literally burst forth and caused blood to come out of his pores. Again, this is, again, talking about his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll never, I think, fully, truly comprehend the suffering that he went through. But we better never, ever take it for granted. Again, finally, according to Matthew 26:53, there were more than 12 legions of angels ready to defend him at his trial if he needed them for any purpose, which of course he did not. Here's the scripture, and this is Yeshua speaking, "Or do you suppose that I cannot call on my Father, and at once he will place at my side 12 legions?" Well, that 12 legions equals about 72,000 angels. So again, no man could take, Yeshua says, "I lay my life down." No man takes it. He came here to do that, to lay his life down for us. And during his entire ministry, the angels were there protecting them, ministering to him, because they knew who he was, you know. And then again, the enemy could not touch him. God had a perfect timing, and Yeshua submitted to that timing. He says, "Not my will, but your will be done." In the Messiah's resurrection, the third period of his life when angels, or melech, were used was in connection with the resurrection. It was an angel who rolled away the stone from the tomb. Again, these are powerful celestial beings. I mean, they're not, you know, four feet people or little children with angel wings. They are everybody, again, in scriptures, or, you know, who have seen an angel, so they're huge. They're warriors. They are, again, warriors for Yahweh Elohim and warriors on our behalf as well. So again, it was no big deal for them to roll away the stone. Angels were used to announce the resurrection to the women who came at the tomb. So I'm going to read specifically Yochanan 12, 11 to 16. "But Miriam stood outside the tomb weeping. As she was weeping, she bent down to look into the tomb. She sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where Yeshua's body had been lying. 'Woman, why are you crying?'" You know, here again, she sees them. They are speaking to her. "They said to her," she says to them, "'because they took away my master, and I don't know where they put him.' After she said these things, she turned around, and she sees Yeshua standing there." She was one of the first to see the resurrected Messiah. Hallelujah. "Yet she didn't know that it was Yeshua. Yeshua says to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?' Thinking he's the gardener, she says to him, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away.' Yeshua says to her, 'Miriam.' Turning around, she says to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, again, he then allowed her to see, to realize who she was talking to. It's like, wow, how she got the privilege of being the first one to see our resurrected Messiah. Four, in Messiah's ascension, the fourth period angels were used in the life of the Messiah was at the ascension. After he ascended, angels announced that this same Yeshua, who was then departing, would come again in like manner. He departed from Jerusalem. He is going to return to Jerusalem. Acts 1, 10 to 11. While they were staring into heaven, as he went up, suddenly two men stood with them in white clothing. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you keep standing, staring into the heaven? This Yeshua who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So here they were sent to reassure him, you are going to see him again. He is going to return again in his timing. God has a timetable. The phrase "in like manner" means that just as he left in the clouds of heaven, he will in the same day return in the clouds of heaven. In the Messiah's second coming, the fifth period is still future. Again, we know he will return. He is, Baruch Hashem, we are look forward to his return every day. We are to live every day as if he is returning this day. We are to be, again, faithfully serving him. He said, "When I return, will I find faith upon the earth?" In other words, will I find covenant faithfulness within my people? So we need to be covenantly faithful every single day. Again, angels will come with him in the clouds of heaven at his second coming. Thus, angels will be involved in the life of Messiah even in the future. I want to specifically let me go back here. Okay, so let's look at some of these scriptures again on your sheet. It's page 6 if you're looking at your handouts. Matthew 16, 27, "For the Son of Man is about to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will repay everyone according to his deeds." So again, he came first as the Savior, as the Redeemer, as the Shepherd of Israel, but he is returning again as Judge for those who have rejected him. And he's speaking about this even before his death and resurrection. Matthew 24, 31, "He will send out his angels with the great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So in the end times, Yeshua's angels are going to gather us together unto him. And there are plenty of them to do the job. Matthew 25, 31, "Now when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the glorious throne." So again, he is going to be returning with his angels, again, myriads, thousands upon thousands. And I was thinking, because, a lot of times, again, you see the regular angels pictured with wings. And I thought, well, how could people be confused by that? Because the seraphim and cherubim have wings, but the regular angels do not. So again, without studying specifically what these different groups of angels are, they probably thought, oh, they all have wings. Well, no, only those two groups have wings, but the regular angels, again, do not have wings. They are men. There are no female angels. They are all men in appearance. 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. "This is the evidence of the righteous judgment of God," or Yahweh Elohim, "so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of Yahweh Elohim, for which indeed you are suffering." Again, God never promised that we would not suffer in this world, but we have a hope. "For after all, it is right in the sight of Yahweh Elohim to pay back trouble to those who trouble you, and relief to you who suffer trouble along with us. At the revelation," or revealing, of our Master Yeshua from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. He will command judgment on those who do not know Yahweh Elohim and do not heed the good news of our Master Yeshua. The work of angels among the nations. The fourth category concerns the work of angels among the nations. Here, two things should be mentioned first. Angelic beings function in the capacity of cosmocrats or world rulers. I had to look up that word. I thought, cosmocrats? I never heard of that word, but it means world rulers or rulers of nations. For example, in Daniel 10:13, a leading angelic being was the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Michael the archangel not only has authority over the other angels, but also happens to be the chief prince over Israel. I'm going to read Daniel 13, some of these scriptures. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia resisted me for 21 days. Okay, this is the angel speaking. Again, there is a principality, demonic principality, that was over this nation who was trying to hinder this angel of Yahweh to come through to in answer to Daniel's prayers. But behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So here Michael came to help this angel because he had been detained there with the kings of Persia. So again, this is referring to the principalities and powers who were behind this nation. Daniel 10:21. But first I will tell you what is recorded in the writing of truth. No one strengthened me against these except Michael, your prince. Again, recorded in the writing of truth. Again, his Torah. Again, Daniel 12:1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people. Again, Michael specifically, the archangel over Israel, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as never occurred since the beginning of the nation until now. In fact, we are seeing that manifestation today. Again, if you study Bible prophecy and you see what's going on, I mean, everything is falling into place. You know, little Israel is again defending themselves just so they could live and, you know, be free. And they've got every nation practically on the face of the earth, leaders against them, including our nation. Yet Yahweh's hand is protecting them. And he will continue to protect them. And God is continuing to work in Israel, where many Israelis are coming to faith in Messiah Yeshua. Many Muslims as well are coming to faith in Messiah Yeshua. There's, again, things happening in the spiritual realm out there. And these, again, are indications of how close we are to Yeshua's return. There will be, again, a time of distress such as never occurred since the beginning of the nation until now. But at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book will be delivered. Again, this is referring to the book of life. Those who are in the book of life are those who have put their faith in Messiah Yeshua. During the feast of Yom Kippur, the book of life is mentioned many times during that feast. So if you keep the feast and you study the feast, you see the connection, you understand the connection. So again, there's a promise of deliverance. Secondly, angels are also closely associated with the human rulers over specific nations. For example, Isaiah 14:3 to 20 speaks about Babylon. Verses 3 to 11 speak of the human king of Babylon, while verses 12 to 14 speak of HaSatan. So there's a dual reference there. Verses 15 to 20 once again speak of the king of Babylon. The same thing is true, and we're going to look at these verses, of Ezekiel 28, 1 to 19, which speaks about Tyre. Verses 1 to 10 speaks about the human prince of Tyre, while verses 11, 19 are addressed to HaSatan as the king of Tyre. Again, the principality behind the prince in the flesh. Because both fallen and unfallen angelic beings are used as cosmocrats or world rulers, they carry out Yahweh's will among the nations. Many things that happen among nations are due to these angelic beings. Quite frequently, the reason nations go to war against one another is because they have been moved to do so by these cosmocratic, angelic beings. So again, what you see going on in the natural is going on in the spiritual. Where you see, again, the evil and the wickedness going on, that's because there's an evil, wicked spirit, demonic spirit of Ha-Satan influencing them, in which they are yielding to. But in the same time, there is, again, God, when you see the manifestation of God's glory among his people and the miracles that are manifesting, those are the angels, again, manifesting the power of Yahweh on behalf of the righteous. So again, the Ruach, the word, is giving us a glimpse into the spiritual realm. And it's right there in the word, warning us again to stay away from, again, things that are connected with the demonic world, such as horoscopes, fortune telling, Ouija boards, all this garbage, where even some Christians, are being sucked into because they don't know the word of God. You know, we need to, again, be students of the word of God. So let's look at this scripture. I'm going to read Isaiah 14, 16 to 21st. And this is a reference again it's a dual reference. Those who see you will stare at you, reflecting on what has become of you. Is this the one who shook the earth, who made kingdoms tremble, who made the world a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who never opened the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them, lie in glory, each in his own house. But you are cast out of your tomb as a discarded branch, garments of the slain pierced with the sword, dumped into a stony pit, a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not join with them in burial because you ruined your land, you slaughtered your own people. The offspring of evildoers will never be named. So again, we see verses 12 to 14. Let me just grab my Bible here because I'm going to look back at that. Isaiah, I thought I had printed that out, but I must have missed it. So Isaiah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Isaiah 14, again, 3 to 20 is speaking of Babylon, and verses 12 to 14 is speaking of how Satan, so you're going to write, it's in your notes, but I meant to put that down here. Again, when I was putting the scriptures into the notes. Now, this is specific. This is referring to, again, Ha-Satan, how you have fallen from heaven, O bright star, son of the dawn, how you are cut down to the earth, you who made the nations prostrate, you who said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mountain of meeting in the uttermost parts of the north, I will ascend above the high places of the clouds. I will make myself like Elyon. And here the response was, yet you will be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the earth. So again, it's a dual reference in Isaiah, first referring to the evil leader of Babylon, but also the spiritual force, Ha-Satan, behind him, and his arrogance, his pride. Again, thinking he was an anointed cherub. He was there by the throne of Yahweh Elohim. It says, until sin was found within him, until he wanted to be above God. He wanted to be the Most High. And he was, again, cast out. The same is true of Ezekiel 28, 1 to 19, which speaks about Tyre. And verses 1 to 10 speaks of, again, the human prince. And verses 11 to 9, again, are addressed to, about Ha-Satan. So let's look at that. Ezekiel 11 to 19. The word of Adonai came to me saying, Son of man, lift up a lament for the king of Tyre. Say to him, thus says Adonai Elohim, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So here it's referring to the spiritual king of Tyre, that spiritual evil entity. You were in Eden, the garden of Yahweh Elohim. So we know right then who he's speaking of. Every precious stone was your covering, ruby, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald. Your settings and your sockets, a workmanship of gold. In the day you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed guardian, Harav. So here again, he had a high place among the angelic beings. I placed you on the holy mountain of Yahweh Elohim. You walked among the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, they filled you within with violence. You have sinned, so I threw you out as a profane thing from the mountain of Yahweh Elohim. I made you vanish, guardian Haruv, from among the stones of fire. Your heart was exalted because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. I threw you down to the earth. Before kings, I set you up as a spectacle. By the multitude of your iniquities and the injustice of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. So I brought fire out from within you, and it has consumed you. I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who saw you. All who know you among the people will be appalled at you. You have become a horror and will be nothing forever. So again, it's referring to, again, the the king of Tyre, verses 1 to 10, but 11 to 19 addresses, again, HaSatan is the king of the spiritual, again, force behind the king of Tyre. The work of angels among unbelievers. The fifth category of the work of angels is their work among unbelievers, and three facets should be noted. Number one, angels announce impending judgment. First, angels announce impending judgment. This was done historically in Genesis 19, 12 to 13, when angels announced the coming of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, they will do so again as they announce the terrible bold judgments. Again, Revelation 14, 7, he said, let's begin with verse 6, and I saw another angel flying high in the sky, having a timeless message of good news to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. Again, too, I'm assuming people are thinking, okay, they're flying, so angels must have wings. Angels don't need wings to get around. Verse 7, he said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship the one who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of the water. Again, as you study the prophets, you'll see every time God warned when judgment is coming. God is warning. Even people that aren't saved are sensing that, you know what, something's going on here. Yeah, and he gives them an opportunity to repent. But again, if you die in your sins, there's no opportunity to repent anymore. It even says that during the tribulation, people's hearts will become hardened because of all the judgments coming upon them. Yeshua said, today is a day of salvation. Today, while you are living, today is a time to give your life to him. But people are being warned. You know, another angel, a second one, fouled, said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink of the wine of the fury of her immorality. And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or his hand, again, they will be perish and will be condemned forever. And we'll study more of this if you take the Bible prophecy, you know, study. But again, that's, you take the mark, that's it. There is no salvation. There is no redemption. You know, whether believers are going to be here, I personally do not believe that when the wrath of God is coming, because the word says that we are not destined for his wrath. The wrath is for the evil upon the earth. And we're going to break that down and look at that. And yeah, there's different opinions. Again, I don't like using the term rapture because it's misunderstood. The Bible refers to it as the catching away. The taking away of, his people out of danger. The timing of it, it's in God's hands. Whether you believe pre, mid, or post, I don't believe post is really applicable to believers. Why? Because the wrath is for the evil upon the earth. But I'm not going to argue about it. That's my personal belief according to scriptures. All I can say is we better be ready whenever time it is. We better be faithful no matter what time it is. It's in Yahweh's hands, but we'll look at more, two sides of the story. I mean, people get in such arguments over that. It says, why are you arguing over something that you have no control over? It's God who determines it, not us. Our job is to be faithful to the end, to be faithful, again, two ways, to be faithful to the end of our lives, that our last breath is in service to him, and to be faithful in the times we are living in, if we happen to be alive at the time of Yeshua's return and judgments. So again, we see that, again, angels will be the one who will be bringing these judgments upon the earth. It says like 2/3 of the earth is going to be destroyed. There's not going to be one place on the face of the earth that is not affected by these judgments that are coming. And there will be no place to hide. Angels inflict punishment. Secondly, they inflict punishment. Angels are used to inflict punishment in the past. For example, it was an angel who carried out the 10th plague upon the firstborn sons of Egypt. We see that Exodus 12, 23. Again, we're coming towards ready for Pesach to celebrate Passover, the redemption again of our people, the redemption of who we are, a Messiah, and what he has done for us. And it was an angel who brought that final plague, that plague of death. And the angel passed over every house that had the blood upon the doorpost. Again, it was on the top and on either side, which really formed the Hebrew letter chai. Chai means life. So it said when they saw the blood, that meant life. No one was to be harmed in that household. But the blood had to be on that house, no matter who they were. It had to be the blood. Other examples are found in 2 Samuel 24:16 and Ezekiel 9:1-8. Which again, you could look up. I had to kind of limit myself here because of the amount of scriptures. A New Testament example is Acts 12, 23, when an angel was used here to smite Agrippa with a fatal disease. And what they have done in the past, they will also do in the future. Angels will inflict punishment in the tribulation. So again, Acts 21, 22, on an appointed day, Herod donned his royal robes and taking a seat upon the throne, began to make a speech to them. The people were shouting, "The voice of a God, not a human." Immediately, an angel of the Lord or Yahweh struck him down because he did not give Yahweh the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. So here was an angel of the Lord that struck him with a judgment, and he died, literally eaten by worms and died. Revelation 8, 1 and 2. Now when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, who's the Lamb? Yeshua. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. So here they are waiting, the seventh seal, they are waiting for this order to go forth with these judgments. Revelation 8, 6, then the seven angels holding the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. What? The judgments that are to coming. Revelation 16, 1, then I heard a loud voice from the temple. What is it? The temple in heaven, saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of God's wrath. So again, that seventh seal is God's wrath that is going to come upon the earth. Angels will act as the reapers. Thirdly, at the end of the tribulation, angels will be used to act as reapers. As reapers, they will separate the believers from the unbelievers. Matthew 13, 39, and going to 43. The enemy who sold them is the devil. And this is a parable Yeshua is speaking. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So here Yeshua is specifically saying this is the end of the age, the end of time prior to my return. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, So shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. And they will be thrown, they will throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the timing of this, again, I mean, it could be at the end of the millennium, again, when the final throne judgment, when the wicked are judged and cast out for all eternity into utter darkness. Again, the timing, you know, this is where sometimes it's, you know, hard to place when this is going to happen. But again, we need to trust God that he's going to watch over us. We belong, if we are serving Yahweh Elohim, and we belong to him, and we are walking to the best of our ability into obedience to his word, to submitting ourselves to his word, he is going to watch over us. Hallelujah. Whether we're alive at his return or we're with him in the round trip back, hallelujah, we're going to be with him for all eternity. Again, it's important to understand this word. And again, secondly, again, they inflict punishment. We see that again in Exodus. When they have what they have done in the past, again, they will do in the future. And I think I'm going to stop here because the last part is their work in relationship to us as believers. So I want to stop here because there's still a lot of notes to follow. So we're going to cut this in two parts. And I want to stop here. And next week we'll focus on the angels or the Melech of Yahweh Elohim and their relationship to us as believers. Again, they are watching over us, every household, every ministry that are serving Yahweh Elohim, the angels are watching over us so that we can complete the tasks and what he has called us to do for his kingdom. I know personally, and I'm sure you have testimonies as well, that you knew there were angels watching over you. You knew that an angel was, again, protecting you. And I shared before of a few testimonies. Again, our son, he was, I don't know, about six, maybe under, so I don't remember how old he was. He was a little, maybe 5 years old. And he was really sick. I think he had the flu or something. And he was, you know, in bed sleeping. And again, we were praying for his healing. And in the morning, he said, I think he spoke to, you know, Minister Scott. He said, Dad, he says, there was a big man standing at the end of my bed watching over me. He wasn't afraid. He just said it matter of fact. So we knew that was Yahweh Elohim's angel watching over him that he saw. Again, because the innocence of him as a child, and again, he wasn't afraid. Because I think Minister Scott asked him, well, were you scared? And he said, no. You know, so, you know, again, Yahweh watches over our children. He's a guardian. Again, that's why it's important for us to pray as well. Another instance was when, I think I was a teenager, I was about to fall down. Again, the house we lived in had real steep stairs into the basement, and the basement was a cement slab. So I had already fallen down the stairs and over the railing onto the slab, knocked the air right out of me. My whole chest was black and blue. And then later on, probably a few years later, the same thing happened because I had, remember those stupid flip-flops? Well, I flip-flopped all right. I was headed down the stairs again, and I cried out, you know, God, help me. Jesus, help me. And I literally felt a hand grab the back of my shirt and yank me back up on the steps. I mean, I felt it. I knew Yahweh's angels were watching over me at that time. And again, even how many times we've been, you know, all of us have been protected from accidents, have been protected from catching sickness and disease that could have been deadly, but God protected us. Example of COVID. You know, we trusted God that he would protect us. Even if we came down with it, it didn't harm us because we were trusting him. And we have his promises, he has his word, and we know, and that should be comforting. And when we look at next week, I think it'll be a blessing. And again, you have all the notes, but don't discern because you have the notes that's all there is, because as I'm teaching, the Ruach is also giving me things to say. But on our behalf, as believers, again, this is God lets us know this so that we will be comforted. He is watching over us. Again, that's why we need to watch the words that are coming out of our mouth. We need to speak in agreement with the word of Yahweh Elohim. We need to have circumcised lips and circumcised hearts. We need to, again, every day, you know, come before him, say, Father, forgive me if I've done anything contrary to your word. And again, he is there, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because we've all fallen stumble, because we're still dealing with a sinful world. We're still dealing with things of the flesh. But again, we have authority over the flesh. But if we miss it, we can repent and not go back to that and go forward in victory. So I'm going to, again, stop here. So Elvina Mulcahy, our Father, King, Father, I thank you so much for your holy word. I thank you, Father, for our angelic beings, our melech, that you, Yeshua, are sending forth upon this earth, Father, to, again, bring your judgments. You are sending them forth upon your earth to protect your people. They are protecting Israel. They are watching over Israel. They are protecting the redeemed of Yahweh Elohim. And I thank you for it, Father. Father, I praise you and thank you, Father, that we commit every day to walk in faithfulness, Father, and to obedience to you and to hide that word upon our hearts. It says, if we hide that word upon our hearts, we won't sin against you, because that word is going to be first place. And the Ruach HaKodesh is always going to lead us to righteousness and to salvation. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua, for all that you've done, for this holy word you've given us, Father, this precious word, Father. May we never take it for granted. We may never take for granted the price that you paid because of your love for us. In Yeshua's name, amen. I'm going to stop.